Next week, we will be beginning a series in the book of James. So this morning, I'm giving you a short sermon, and then another part of the service we'll go into in just a moment. But before we get into that next part, I want to go ahead and share with you from Romans chapter 10, a sermon kind of piggybacking off of the message that we started that we had last week with Jesus telling us to go. And last week, Jesus had the confrontation with the centurion, and his faith and the centurion's faith, he demonstrated such great faith, and Jesus told him, go, it will be given to you as you expected. And then the woman at the well, go and sin no more. Or, I'm sorry, not the woman at the well, woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more. And then Jesus to his disciples, go and make disciples of all nations. And so this morning we're talking about we are called to go, because these are the words of Paul that carries on from the words of Christ, that when Christ tells us to go, he wasn't just talking to his disciples, he was talking to us as well. We are called to make disciples. A few years ago, Kyle Eidelman, who is now the senior minister at Southeast Christian Church after Dave Stone retired, he wrote a book entitled Not a Fan. And the whole premise behind the book, I believe some of you might have participated in small groups or some sort of study with regards to this. The whole principle behind it was, we're not just called to be fans for Jesus, we're called to be followers. And Jesus set us an example that we are to be following and doing as we live our life. Jesus came and made disciples, and we are here to make disciples. You know, there are a lot of fans in our world. They're sports fans, and you know, you can see the stadiums packed out with millions or thousands of fans that are either in the parking lot or in the stadium. It's just, they're covered. And then there's comic book fans, which some of those kind of creep me out at times. You know, they want to dress up like these different characters, and they put so much emphasis in the idea that this stuff is real. It's a comic book, for crying out loud. That's what I just want to say sometimes. And so you have comic book fans, and then you have a separate category, Star Wars fans. Now, some of them create their own language. They create their own ideas of what's... I mean, I'm not kidding you, there is a 30-minute video about how a movie is going to wrap up this year. And it's you just wonder, you know, it's just a movie, right? I mean, it's just a movie. So there's all kinds of fans. Jesus didn't call us to be fans. I like this marquee that was found on Hilton Springs Missionary Baptist Church. God didn't call us to go camping. He called us to go fishing. You know, that's an interesting thought when you think about what we're called to be. We're called to go and fish for men. I grew up fishing. In fact, I grew up shrimping and fishing, and I miss a lot of that. I'm afraid to find it over in the coast because I know how much time it can end up taking in my life. We used to go shrimping all the time. We used to go fishing all the time. And it was just so much fun. You know, we caught some crazy things. My dad, one night we went shrimping at night, and my dad threw his net out. And all of a sudden started splashing and couldn't really see anything. It was dark. So he pulled the net in, and a bat was in the net. Yes, a bat, you know, bat swooped down when they hear the sounds, and this bat had swooped down into my dad's net and was all tangled up. And so it wasn't a good night for shrimping that night. But as Christians, we're called to go fishing. And when you go fishing, you fish for a little while in one spot, and what happens? If you don't catch anything, do you stay there? No. You pull up the motor, you pack up the boxes, or pack up the bucket, and you go fishing somewhere else. You go and try to find where the fish are. Or you adjust your sinker and your line to make it more appealing. Or if you go with the example of those days, the nets, when you cast out the net and you don't bring in anything, you don't keep hitting the same spot over and over. You make adjustments so that you can find where the fish are. And as Christians, we have a responsibility. We have an opportunity. I'm struggling with the trend away from that word. We have the opportunity in sharing with what Christ has established in His example. When Christ came into this world, He didn't stay to Himself. He went to where the people were. He was ridiculed by the religious leaders because He hung out with those who were not favorable in their minds to deserve someone of stature like Christ. But Jesus' response to them so many times was, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. I came to find sinners. I came to find the lost sheep of Israel. I came to find those who understand they need a Savior. And as Christians, we have the opportunity to share in what Christ has started in His life. And Paul continues the same message in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, when he's talking to the church in Rome. He says, "How then will they call on Him who in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, 'How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things.' However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, 'Lord, who has believed our report?' So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the earth. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First Moses says, 'I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without an understanding will I anger you.' And Isaiah is very bold and says, 'I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. But as for Israel,' he says, 'all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient an obstinate people.'" Paul asks a very important question in this passage to the church in Rome. He asks the question, how can they believe if no one has given them something, given what needs to be believed in? We so often hear that verse of scripture in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, when he says that faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. But we miss the point of verses 14, 15, and 16, when Paul tells us very, very plainly, believing doesn't start with hearing. Believing starts with sending. Before someone can believe, they have to hear the message. In order for them to hear the message, someone has to give them the message. Someone has to bring the hope of God's good news to those who need to hear it. That's why we're here. You know, if we were saved for the purpose of worshiping and saved for the purpose of going to church, we'd be, as soon as we're drip-dried from the baptistry, we'd be transported to heaven. We're not saved for those purposes. We're saved to do what has started in Christ Jesus, to be an example, to bring the kingdom of God into this world. That is the purpose of Christianity, is to advance the kingdom of God. God came and established that kingdom in Christ Jesus. It took that sacrifice to bring a new life. But it doesn't end there, because as Paul points out in Romans and throughout Romans, that all of creation is eagerly anticipating the moment in which the sons of God are revealed. Those who have accepted Christ and are willing to follow Christ at all costs. You know, it's amazing. The world has been transformed by the work of 12 after Jesus. Jesus came, he ministered, he discipled 12 men. One died, or actually two died. Judas betrayed Jesus, so he's out of the picture. And then James is beheaded, so he's out of the picture. So there's 10 disciples left that we can say. Some of them met an early demise, yes. But you look at the example that they set for us. We're here over 2,000 years later because of the dedication and the commitment to making disciples that those 10 started. We're here. So our opportunity today is to make more disciples. We have a beautiful opportunity to be an active participant in taking the good news of the good things God has done for all of creation in Christ Jesus. He has made all things new in Christ. You believe that passage? It's in Scripture. In fact, Jesus himself uttered those words. I have made all things new. Are we new? When you think about that and think about the example that Jesus gives us in his parables and his teachings, he talks about does a person take an old garment and a new patch and blend them together? No, the old garment will tear away from the new patch. He goes on to demonstrate this in another way when he talks about a wineskin. You take an old wineskin and put new wine in it? No, it'll burst it. We've got to stop thinking that it's the old way. It's the new way. New way. We are a new creation created in Christ Jesus. The old rules aren't established anymore for the purpose of worship. It's worshiping God that we're here to do. And in worshiping God, we're advancing the kingdom of God in all that we say and do. This is the example that we see in the life of Paul, even. When Paul was in prison by his own words, what happened? Well, he was constantly being attacked by the Jews, and eventually he appealed to Caesar. And to Caesar he must go. But then Agrippa became the authority over Paul, and so he called for Paul on occasions to hear the message. And at one point, Paul is giving the message of God's good news to Agrippa, and Agrippa responds to Paul with this passage of Scripture. Where's my slide? Sorry. There we go. Next. Click it again. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Can you persuade me in such short time to become a Christian?" "Short time or long," Paul replied, "I wish to God that not only you, but all who hear me this day may become what I am, except for these chains." So Paul is telling Agrippa, hey, I hope you come to the realization that Jesus has brought a new way. I hope you become a Christian. He's telling the governor at this point. So Paul gives us an example of how committed he was to following Jesus. And he gives us another example when he's in prison. And this is an interesting passage of Scripture when you talk about what's going on in this. He is in chains and he writes these letters to the church in Philippi. He says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." He's in prison, and he's glad that the gospel is advancing. So he's perfectly content with the fact that he is in prison, as long as the gospel is being spread. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. He looks at some of these and he says, you're only preaching because you know it's going to cause trouble for me. You're only doing this to stir up trouble for me. But then he concludes with these words in verse 18. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Paul wrote those words as he sat behind the bars, chained in prison. He was grateful for the opportunity to be in the place in prison as long as the kingdom of God was advancing outside of those walls. You know, it's interesting that after Paul's imprisonment, eventually Rome dealt with Paul another way. I kind of get the idea Rome got tired of Paul convincing or Paul's prison ministries, because I can imagine Paul, while he was in prison, he was converting prisoners to become Christians, and Rome probably looked at this situation and says, well, we got a problem. He's even spreading the message of the gospel in prison, and that means we're losing more of our people to Christianity because of his ministry in our prisons. And so what do they do when he ended up in Rome? They put him under house arrest. He was able to stay in his own house, just with the guard, just him and a guard. I wonder if they did that because he was converting too many citizens in the prisons to be followers of Jesus. You see, to Paul, Jesus was everything. To Paul, nothing else mattered but the message of the cross. We see in this passage of Scripture, though Israel was seeking, they never found. Though Gentiles didn't know what they were seeking, they were found. We're here today because we were found. We were found by God who revealed himself through the people that we encountered in our lives, who shared the message of salvation to us, who brought this good news to us. So I encourage us to remember what we're here for. We're here to make disciples. We're here to go into all the earth, preaching the good news, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that He commanded. We learn from the examples of those who have set the example before us, who have been called by the Lord to do this work. And this morning, as we come to this time, we're come to recognize Tom Baker. Tom has been committed to studying the Word of God and committed to doing school work through Christian Leadership International. And in doing so, he has completed his task, and now he has set in his heart to be ordained as associate minister or minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to serve the kingdom of God in all that he's doing. This commissioning of Tom includes the following characteristics that are timeless about ordination and commissioning into ministry. This one has set apart is a seasoned and tested believer who is walking with God, is spiritually qualified, is called, and will then be placed into specific ministry or task. This one set apart is publicly prayed over and commissioned with the laying on of hands, empowering service. This one set apart is commissioned to spiritual leadership. This commissioning has been bathed in prayer and or fasting, recognizing the spiritual nature of this event. This one set apart is connected to the church and the work of the church. He desires to build the church in God's kingdom. This one commissioned ultimately understands that the object of his appointment into ministry is the spreading of the gospel. Since New Testament times, the Holy Spirit has appointed and anointed Christian leaders to build the church. The Holy Spirit equips them so that through their leadership, believers may grow their faith, lead their families, and serve others in love and in sharing the gospel. The Apostle Paul encouraged early church leaders to stay connected to God and His Word, which is the foundation and handbook of every commissioned and ordained leader, as well as for all believers. Paul writes in Acts chapter 2, verse 32, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of His grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are satisfied." Information here about Tom. Tom has completed over 45 credit hours of formal ministry training at Christian Leadership Institute, plus comprehensive examination. Christian Leaders Institute has been providing scholarships for minister training since 2002. The college level training is not easy. The training is rigorous, including reading material, lectures, quizzes, and tests. Has received his award, earning at least 2.0 grade point average. And all that he has accomplished, he has also done as serving as an elder here at Zephyr Christian Church. And now he comes this morning to be ordained as a minister of the Lord. Tom, if you would please come forward. And I would like to ask at this time if the elders, Rusty Draper, Gary Nichols, and Mel Marshall, please come forward. Rusty, if I could have you stand here. Mel, if I could have you stand on the second step. Tom, if you would come face out. And Gary, would you stand there on the second step as well? The ordination process is always carried out by the laying on of hands. And Tom, if you would face the congregation. If the elders would therefore lay their hands upon Tom, and each of you commit him, his ministry, to prayer. Pray for him before the congregation.
He will see the need to become better educated. that you have taken the time and put forth the effort to become trained and ready to serve the family and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thankfully setting aside, setting apart for that service. And pray that you go with him and be guided by your Holy Spirit. That we be prepared and we continue to do your service. In Jesus' name we pray.
This morning I give you a gift. These are just simple words I pen over your heart. May they always be true in all that you say and do. Words simply say, Jesus first. May you always put Jesus first in all that you say and do in his ministry. If I could ask the elders to sign his ordination certificate and present that to him this morning. This morning, as you see, Tom has set apart to decided to do ministry for the kingdom of God. And he's not alone. Ordination is a special desire of the heart, and it's a willingness to be apart from the others and to serve. Because as a minister is just a servant of the Lord. We're here to serve the kingdom of God. We're here to serve you all. And so that we can work together to advance the kingdom here in Zephyr Hills and around the world. We have that opportunity today as we share together. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and thank you for the wonderful blessings that you have given us. We come now and we ask that you continue to be with Tom as he ministers before you, as he serves your kingdom. And may he always put Jesus first. As the words are planted there before his heart, may he always put Christ first in all that he says and does for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Congratulations, Tom. We never want to close a service without opening the invitation. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and haven't been united with him in baptism, now is that time. There's no